1000-watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 12th of November, Anno Domini 2006, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use, all kinds of good and interesting things, and we will start. We're even going to have yet another story time with Uncle Dave. Will be later. That'll be fun. And but right now, making your move to Vista. Vista's coming. We all know that. If you're a business person, the theory is you'll be able to get it next month. And if you're a home user, the theory is you'll be able to get it next year. There are a lot of pluses and minuses to Vista. There's a lot to like about the new version of Windows, but the questions are huge.
What do you like about it? You've played with it?
I have played with it. It's pretty. If you've never used a Mac or you've never used Linux, you'll be astounded at the cool graphical things you can do. None of them are new, but all of them are new to Windows people. And that's kind of nice. The one thing that I truly like is every application can set a different level of volume for sound. That's handy.
That's very handy. We hear a lot of complaints about laptops where you might have been listening to music or something through the headphone jack and crank the volume up. And then when you reboot your machine, when you get to your business meeting, bang!
Right. Everything can be a different volume, so that's kind of nice.
Speaking of volume, I just pegged my meter, so sorry.
Right, exactly. However, there's a big problem, which is hardware. You have a decision to make. Are you going to buy new hardware? Are you going to upgrade your existing hardware? The system requirements I've been playing with it, and the system requirements that Microsoft has put out should definitely be described as minimum. And I emphasize minimum.
They always do it that way. Every operating system they've already put out, they'll say, oh, it'll run on this.
Yes, here's what you absolutely need is a minimum. DirectX 9, and you really should have DirectX 10.
Yep.
A 3D graphics card. With a WDDM driver, whatever that may mean, 128 megabytes of graphics memory, that's the minimum, support for Pixel Shader 2.0, and 32-bit color depth. Now, that is a minimum. I am running Vista right now on a machine that's got, it's a 2 gigahertz processor, it's got a gig of RAM, it's got a 60 gig hard drive, it's got a DVD, audio output, of course, internet access, of course. The problem with that is it really just barely runs.
Yeah.
Now,
that's a pretty heavy machine for XP.
It is still beta, okay? So there's certain slowing down going on. But I'm telling you right now, if you want to run Vista and the new Office 12 or Office Vista, whatever they're going to call it, you'd best have 2 gig of RAM. Or else you best be the most patient person I've ever met in my life.
And that's the whole problem, though. You know, here they're, like we've said before, raising the price of poker.
Yep.
And, I mean, this is a whole... I mean, you're moving up to the big leagues now. For the average person, and I'm talking about most of our listeners out there that want to just do, maybe some spreadsheets, maybe some Word document, surfing the internet and doing email.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they're doing pictures... This new Vista is going to be quite a hefty price tag just to do that simple stuff.
Well, and let's take a look at even businesses. You've got to upgrade the RAM on every machine in your business, probably the video card on every machine in your business. You have to buy Vista for every machine in your business. By the time you're done, it's like buying new machines for everybody in the place. Yep. Is that in your budget for next year? Are you ready to spend that kind of money to make that kind of outlay?
And you're probably better off buying a new machine instead of upgrading.
Well, and that's the next point, which is that when you do Vista, everything that happened to me and everything I've read on the internet says don't upgrade. Wipe your machine clean and start Vista fresh. upgrading will cause problems. Not may cause problems,
will
cause problems. Yep. So now you've got to back everything up, back it up twice, blah, 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 blah. You can't migrate applications from XP to Vista because you'll have to reinstall them new.
They don't work that well anyway, right?
And very few things work that aren't actually designed for Vista. You really, folks, you need to sit and think right now as to how you're going to do it. The other thing is, if you do upgrade to Vista, you can't downgrade again. You know how you've always been able to,
go
to back out of something? Can't do it. Vista won't let you back out. You better make sure you've got all the driver support and everything else. The machine I'm running it on now, the audio cuts out regularly.
Yep.
And I know it's a driver issue. It's not Vista. It's just that there's no driver yet for Vista.
So our bottom line for the average folks listening to this show, don't buy Vista. Wait until next spring, next summer, till machines are preloaded with Vista and have all the drivers worked out.
Right, exactly. Don't be the pioneer. There's no need right now. I'm not saying it's a bad operating system. It's very nice.
Yeah.
There's nothing new in it for me. It's stuff I've seen in the Mac and in Linux for years. But the point is, if you've never seen those operating systems, there'll be some wow stuff for you in it.
But
the point is, wait, you're not going to be able to run it on the machine you have today.
And I'm just saying, for the most part, though, all in all, Vista is just XP on steroids.
Yeah, they took out all the really good stuff that they were hoping to have in it.
It might be in the next service pack.
Right, maybe.
Which is a year away, right?
Right, easy. Yeah. The big thing is the Aero Glass. That's really the big thing.
Oh, one thing.
Oh, you mean Aqua.
Yeah. One thing, because I was looking, I forgot to bring them, is, I print out all the stuff that you send me. One of the other big things folks should know, that if anybody's using QuickBooks and you want to get your updates, do not use Internet Explorer 7.0. QuickBooks has come right out and said it doesn't work with it, will not work with it. So you have to roll back to IE 6.0 to get any of your QuickBook updates. So if you think it's updating because you put Internet Explorer 7.0 and you're not paying attention to the screens, which a lot of folks do, they just go click, 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 and think they've downloaded it or updated it. Your QuickBooks is not updated and won't update with Internet Explorer 7.0.
Well, that's disturbing. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got folks on the line. We'll be getting to them. And we've got Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you on the greatest computer show in the known universe. And that's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham now.
JM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 18 minutes after the hour, you are listening to Soundbites. I said we'd get to the phones, and you know what? I meant it. Our first caller is Klaus, calling all the way from Trenton, Ontario, Canada. Welcome, Klaus. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking the call.
It's my pleasure.
2 weeks ago, a gentleman called, and I apologize in advance for not being able to get back to you at that particular time. 2 weeks ago, a gentleman called in, said he had problems with an older computer, pushed the power button on the front, and absolutely nothing happened. Perhaps you recall.
Vaguely, sure.
It's usually push and hold the power button to turn it off.
Pardon me?
It's usually push and hold the power button for about 10 seconds to turn it off.
He couldn't turn it on. Push the power button on and nothing would happen. The computer wouldn't fire up.
Well, I can tell you what was going on with that machine.
He brought it in?
Yeah, he brought it in. It wasn't the power supply. He blew the motherboard.
Oh, okay. Ouch. I had exactly the same problem, and I was going to phone in, and what it ended up being, I looked at the computer. The power switch on the front goes to the front of the motherboard, and the power supply plugs into the back.
Right.
And what happened, the button battery, which has never been replaced, was totally dead.
Yeah, that's another common problem.
Replaced the BIOS battery, and it hasn't happened since.
Yeah, the guy
is absolutely true. And for everybody else, Klaus is exactly right. If your computer is old, and old can be 2 years, and it starts to get a little flaky, it's very possible that it's the battery on the motherboard.
Yeah, is it the $20 battery, the $40 power supply, or the $200 motherboard?
Yeah, right. You're absolutely right, Klaus.
Yeah, in this case, there was a $3 button battery. Now, to my new computer, which has a problem, as of lately, and I can't specifically mention the time, within the last 2 weeks or so, I upgraded to Firefox 2. We're running XP, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
When I click on a link, let's say, well, a link. What used to happen is the browser would fire up, and I would connect that link to that link, or to that website, pardon me. And in the last week or so, I'm not able to do that anymore.
And, where are you clicking on this link? In your email?
Let's say an email, yes. An email or a website that I have saved, and I'm no longer online. But I used to be able to press the link, and the browser would fire up. I'm on dial-up. I don't know where to look for this problem, whether it's a security problem or whether or not it's some setting in Firefox.
Well, there's several different places, and one place to start is in Control Panels under Internet Options.
That I did, sir.
Make sure Firefox is your default browser.
Yes, it is.
And in fact, I like to uncheck, have IE look to see if it's the default browser so it never tries again.
That's correct. That's all been done, sir. Now, when somebody sends me an email, like if somebody sends me an email and says, go to this site to see something or other, that's where, you know, when you usually click on a link, and I know you, for safety reasons, you're really not supposed to do that.
What email program are you using?
Outlook Express.
There is a feature in Outlook Express that turns off links because of the security precautions. So it will not let you click on a link.
Yeah, I would switch over to, since you're using Foxfire, go all the way and move over to Thunderbird.
I have tried that, but I'm not too pleased with Thunderbird in some respects. There's
what's that?
Forgive me now. It's been about 2 months since I've checked it out, and I installed it, then I uninstalled it again because I tried it for about 2 weeks.
It's certainly none of those things is for everybody.
Yeah.
So you suggest Outlook Express somewhere?
Yeah, I'm looking on our links. We have a previous link on this problem because it's a feature that they implemented in a patch to Outlook Express, and it turns off links. And I'm trying to find it on our link list. Here we go. On June 12th of 2004, we talked about it. Hyperlinks don't work in Outlook Express.
So what you need to do is head to our website. That's soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis insists we remind you.
Right.
Click on the links tab. Click on the third link, which is list of sites mentioned weekly on the show. And they're all on the left. They're sorted by date. So you want to go down to June of last year, you say,
Oops.
Steve?
Oh, that link is now broken.
Oh, that link is now broken.
It wasn't broken then. So let's Google hyperlinks don't work in Outlook Express, and you'll probably find this setting.
We'll Google that and put it up as one of today's lists.
Yeah, if that's the issue, there's a setting somewhere in Outlook Express tools options to turn that feature on and off.
So he's going to have to check that
right
out.
We'll make sure that gets updated and fixed. We'll put a current link on for today's show. Steve's hard at work doing that right now. All right, our next caller.
Microsoft Knowledge Base article. That could still disappear.
It could still disappear if it's based on 98. XP or whatever. Yep. It could go away. But our next caller is Margie from Rochester. Welcome, Margie. What's your question?
Hi, gentlemen.
How are you?
I am okay. Just by the way, I use IncrediMail, and I developed that same problem the other Klaus was talking about.
Yeah, because IncrediMail actually uses the same dynamic link libraries underneath, the same set of libraries underneath that Outlook Express uses. In fact, most Windows programs use it. So you still are going to get the same problem when you do the update and you get the same set of APIs underneath. So, yes, that will happen.
Okay, now on to my problem.
Okay.
I was on with Dell, and they put the remote control of the machine on, and I was on with them an hour and a half last night, and they couldn't resolve this. And I've heard you fellows answer this in 50 seconds.
But no pressure, right, Margie?
But I can't remember your answer.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know the welcome screen on Windows XP, and it gives you login and
a
couple different names or whatever you want to put. I'm the sole proprietor of my machine, and I wanted to get rid of that screen, and I can't remember.
Okay, if you go into the control panel and go under users,
right,
and on that, you'll click on your name, and there is a way that it boots up.
No, that just controls whether they see an icon with their username or they get a box where they have to type their username.
No.
To actually remove the login.
Yeah, you
prompt.
Can do that on the user, how you log on, and there's two check boxes. If you go here.
Yeah, I've always, there's a separate program. You have go to start, run, and type control.
Oh, this is.
Got to remember, control, space, user, passwords, 2, all one word.
User passwords 2.
Mm-hmm. And there's an option in there to require logon, and you uncheck that, or you I forget if it's you uncheck require logon or you check.
Yeah, that's the same box that's in the under the users too.
There's a couple of advanced buttons in there.
I don't have the capabilities to do it.
Yeah, basically you want to set an auto login so it automatically logs into your account.
Yeah, so you don't see that, you know, you'll see the window screen, but then it goes right on into your main window.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like I say, you either use what Steve said or, like I say, you go in the control panel under users, and there's a login screen, how you log on to Windows, and there's two buttons there that you can change.
Okay, thank you.
Play with those. See, two things and see what happens.
50 seconds. See?
There you go.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All righty. Our next caller. The important thing to note here is that with three people on the panel, you will often get four different ways to do something.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think that's important to note how we don't
I've never found that control panel going through the control panels. I've always had to type it manually.
Yeah. Well, because it's buried. They change it in every version
right.
of Windows.
So it's
or
buried.
Move things around.
Right.
Yeah, you got to find advanced options, tools, special.
Exactly.
Well, it's just like Windows Explorer. Through the various versions of Windows, they keep hiding it in different spots.
Yep. Our next caller, Thomas from Newark, New York. Welcome, Thomas. What's your question?
I upgraded to Explorer 7,
mm-hmm.
And then every time I boot up, I get this error message, Smart Bridge Alerts, MOTIDSB Entry Port. Have you heard anything about that?
What's the Smart Bridge Alert, and what's the next?
I got it written right here.
I tell you what, you're going to have to hold on.
Yeah, hold on, Thomas. We're going to take a quick break for Glenn Lamberts is coming in with the news and all that good stuff, and we'll catch you on the other side of that, and we'll answer your question.
So
back in just a couple of minutes.
Hang on the line.
We're back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. Thomas is on the line, and he's going to make sure that he's going to find that error message. So he can tell us exactly what it says, and then we'll answer his question and a whole bunch of other questions. So call in, give us a call. You know the numbers, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We have Dave Enright. We have Steve Ray. We have Rob Linton. We have me, Nick Francesco. And we have all of you at 28 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Learn how
news, weather, traffic, sports, and more for your drive home. It's the Wham 5 o'clock news hour, weekdays 5 till 6 on Wham.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 32 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Sound Bites. We have we're in the middle of a call to Thomas in Newark, New York, about Smart Bridge Alert. Thomas, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Excellent. Did you find the whole message?
Yes. This is what's on top of the air. After the Smart Bridge Alert, it says MOTIDESB.
Right, Motive Smart Bridge. Entry point not found.
Entry point not found.
Yep.
Right.
Smart Bridge is not compatible with IE7.
Okay, down below it says the procedure entry point, get process image, file
yep.
name,
right.
W could not
yeah,
be
we're
located.
Finding this all over the net, Thomas. It appears that the Smart Bridge program is not compatible with Internet Explorer 7, and you have to
go backwards and put Internet Explorer 6.0 on.
Well,
or the workaround.
Okay, now I'll tell you what, I went to chat rooms, and they gave me all kinds of things, and they said this is my Verizon DSL connection problem and not Microsoft?
Well, Microsoft released new software that's not compatible with much of anything that's out there.
Okay, so I called Verizon.
Right, the workaround is to find
2 hours. They spent 2 hours with me, said they couldn't do nothing, and now that's disappeared.
Well, the workaround is to find the psapi.dll file and rename it psapiold.dll.
Yeah, it's not in my computer. I looked. Unless I go into the registry and I didn't want it.
Well, the easiest thing to do.
Well, you may have to turn on search for invisible files because it's a DLL in your Windows directory.
Okay. What Verizon people tell me they did nothing, but now the error's gone.
Problem solved, then.
Then,
I wanted to talk to you people about it because I got so many different...
Well, what it sounds like happened here, Thomas, is that at some point Verizon also did an update.
They must have did it while they were checking my system.
Exactly. And rather than admit that there was a problem at all ever, you know, it's just one of those deals where, no, we didn't find anything. Try it again. Oh, it works? Well, huh, what a coincidence.
Most of the reports we're finding are from IE7 Beta 2.
Right.
And possibly the release of IE7 and the subsequent update of the Verizon software.
Right, exactly.
Fixed the incompatibility.
So that's what it sounds like happened, Thomas. You had an incompatibility that the Verizon folks fixed but didn't want to admit they had ever had a problem in the first place.
Yeah, because some of the chat rooms told you how to change it in Verizon's.
Right.
Well, because they don't want to get into playing around in your machine. I mean, that's not their job. Their job is to, you know, provide DSL and not try to be a computer repair place.
Yeah, if your internet is working fine, their job is done.
Yeah.
Right. All right, Thomas, thank you very much. We have to move on. Our next caller is Cindy from Geneseo. Welcome, Cindy. What's your question?
Hi. I tried to dance the security tango yesterday.
Sure.
And obviously, I'm not a dancer. Right now, I have nothing showing up in my device manager. So my internet isn't working, and, you know, there are a couple other things that don't look normal.
Are you in safe mode now?
I am not.
Because a lot of things don't show in device manager in safe mode.
When you danced the tango, did you get a lot of viruses?
No.
Well, how far through the process did you make it?
Yeah.
I made it all the way down to the adware.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's where stuff started going a little screwy, was when I was running the spyware remover.
Right. A lot of spyware attaches itself to your legitimate programs, your web browser, your email program.
Okay.
And when you remove the spyware, those programs quit working.
Uh-huh.
And usually you have to reinstall those programs in order to get them to work again.
Yeah. You might want, if it was, you know, locking up or messing up on you, trying to run the adware and SpyBot, you might want to restart your machine, start it in safe mode, and try running those other two programs.
Okay.
But right now you're saying do that first and see if all that stuff comes back, because you may still have something, particularly if you stop the process in the middle, that's blocking the thing from showing up.
All right.
So finish the process first. If that doesn't do it, probably the best thing to do is a repair on Windows, which will put back all those original files.
Okay.
And Dave can tell you the way to go through that process.
Yeah, we already have a link for that.
Yep.
Reinstall Windows over Windows.
All right, well, no, he's just talking about a restore point. All you got to do is go into, if you're running Windows XP, you just go to Start, Programs, Accessories. Under Accessories is System Tools. And in the System Tools is a System Restore.
Well, but if she did the tango, she turned off System Restore.
Correct.
So what you need to do is go to soundbites.org.
Except I can't, from this computer.
She can't get on the internet.
Yeah, I can't get on the computer.
Right, you need to do it at a friend's house.
Okay.
Click on the Links tab. The third link down is the list of sites mentioned on the show. And Steve, where is it in the list?
Okay.
No, it's one of Dave's facts.
Oh,
it?
Dave's FAQs. All right.
Right. Yeah.
I lied to you then.
Windows.
What you want to do is from the Soundbites homepage.
Yep.
Which is also under links.
Right. You go to links, and instead of the third one down, you pick, where are you, Dave? The ninth one down.
All right.
You should number those.
They are numbered.
I haven't looked lately, sorry.
That's all right. What aren't numbered are the actual tips themselves, but in there is a tip for installing Windows over Windows. And that will lead you step by step through the process. So print that out, take it back to your machine, and you're on your way.
Okay.
Okie doke.
One more question. In safe mode, when I boot up in safe mode, all I have is a black screen. So I'm like dancing the tango from the task manager.
There's three different safe modes. You're picking safe mode command prompt, which gets you just
you want to select the very first one, the number
mode,
one.
Right,
yeah,
safe mode, safe mode networking, and safe mode command prompt.
And if you're
prompt,
not getting anything on the screen,
no.
You've got something more
bigger problems to begin with. At this point, it might be time to take it to somebody. Because if you're clicking on just plain old ordinary safe mode and it's dropping to text,
yes,
then yeah, you had problems long before you started the tango, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I should add that as a point in the tango. If you get to text only mode, stop immediately and take it to a vendor.
Well, installing
I'm
Windows
sorry,
over
Cindy,
Windows might fix it.
Yeah.
That might fix it, so it can't hurt to try that. All right, thank you, Cindy. We have to take a break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Rob Linton, with me, Nick Francesco, and all of you at 39 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton. Nick, you haven't gotten used to that whole, like, cue
thing,
have you?
No, I haven't. I'm waiting to hear some sort of, well, yeah. Among the many hand signals you give me throughout an hour, it's hard for me to pick out the one that says,
were those signals
to start
or gestures?
The show again. That's my point.
You got to use all
you know,
your
don't
fingers.
Make me out to be such a bad guy.
No, I never said it was bad. Many, many people use the same gestures with me. I'm really kind of used to them from pretty much everybody.
People, yeah, I grew up in the neighborhood, too.
People on the highways are so friendly to me. All right. Microsoft this week, of course, it's time for Microsoft's monthly visitor. Patch Tuesday is coming up. November 9th, came up. They shipped at least six security bulletins, fixes for five Windows security issues. Will be issued, at least one of which will be tabbed as critical. It plans to ship an update to all kinds of stuff. Vulnerabilities in the software are already being exploited by hackers. Fixes are expected to include Windows 2000 Service Pack 4, XP Service Pack 2, Server 2003, and 2003 Service Pack 1. So all supported versions of Internet Explorer are vulnerable, including the newly released IE7. So a separate cumulative IE security bulletin is also likely to be expected. Microsoft is also expected to issue a patch for extremely critical vulnerabilities in Visual Studio 2005. It's just going to be a big month, so I'd be pretty careful. Last month was a record-breaking volume of security bulletins. This month could beat it. So I would make sure that you do your updates as soon as you get the chance. That's all I'm saying. Do the updates. Don't, you know.
You gotta.
And that goes back to what, you know, we had a problem earlier with an incompatibility with IE7. Sometimes the updates break other things.
Yeah.
Yes, they do, and oh well. I mean, that's life. You know, it's the way it works. We used to have an interesting thing that you know, sometimes people would take advantage of quirks in an operating system and write software that got around certain things by exploiting mistakes in the operating system, and then people would when the quirk was fixed, suddenly their software would break and they'd get all porky about it.
And that's the whole thing. You could be, you know, running along and just do, you know, this particular update or this particular program and everything else that was working fine. Well, you only installed this one program. Now this doesn't work and this doesn't work. Well, yeah, because of the DLLs. I mean, it can change a working function in one thing and get it, or non-working, and get it to work, but it might break three others.
Exactly. That's one of the confusing things in Windows. You think of Windows as a program. It's not. It's thousands of little programs running in the background that all have to work together.
Yep. And if one of them gets updated, it could easily break something else that depended on a quirk in that program.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. All right. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. Welcome, Mark. What's your question?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Please excuse my phone. I'm having a little bit of problem with my line. So
okay.
If you're buzzing, that's what it is. I'm having a problem when I'll boot up the computer and I'll notice it'll be hanging. And for some reason, I happen to check my task manager, and I'll notice that my processor will be peaked to 100%, and that's where it'll stay. And I'll reboot the computer, And when I go to reboot the computer, I'll get a message that comes up for, it says, end program dialogue. And every time this happens, I get this message. And I cannot figure out what this is, this dialogue.
Well, it can be any one of 100 things.
Yeah.
It may be a legitimate program. It may be an attempt to update your operating system. It could be a million things, but it is also possible that it's a virus. So when was the last time you danced the security tango?
I do it every couple weeks.
So how impatient are you? How long have you waited for your system to not hang, to come back?
I'll let it sit for an hour. It'll just hang, you know. If I go to open up my computer,
yeah,
I'll get a flashlight. And it'll scan for my computer, and then maybe after 30, 40 seconds, things will pop up. But when they pop up, all the icons are wrong, you know.
Yeah.
And I'll let it sit for a while. Then I'll go in, let it end. I'll reboot. Sometimes it'll boot.
You might want to check, Mark. One thing you might want to do is, it sounds like some application in either this your startup group,
mm-hmm,
or into the if you go to MS Config and look at the startup toolbar thing. Uncheck some of those and slowly try to figure out which one of those is causing it.
Yeah, this is going to be a long-term problem. You got to try a few things, reboot, see what happens. Try a few things, reboot, see what happens. But that's the way you're going to find out what the error is.
Okay.
And from there, we can start to talk about how to fix it. We have to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco. At 49 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5, calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6, if you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7, is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Call Wham now at TK.
I'm Steve Wozniak, and you're listening to Soundbites.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 54 minutes after the hour, yes, that was the Steve Wozniak. How excited are we? You're listening to Soundbites. Okay.
He's been doing the book circuits because he just came out with a new book about, yeah, you know, he invented the computer revolution, basically.
Yep.
And he's flustering the hosts of the talk shows he goes on because he's such a, you know, wild and radical person.
Yes, he is. All right, kiddies, sit around, gather around, get your jammies on, grab that teddy bear, get a nice cup of hot chocolate, sit down, get comfortable, because it's story time with Uncle Dave. And here he is, Uncle Dave Enright, with his story of the week.
Oh, where'd you dig that one? You got to do better than that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You need something a little more upbeat.
Why don't you come over here and do my job for me if you can do it so much better?
All right. I'll be over in just a minute.
All right.
I got to first do this part,
Uncle
then
Dave
I'll do
clearly
your job.
Needs to adjust his meds. So.
Go ahead. All right. Nick, Steve, if I said to you guys, trial version.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But does that mean you get to try it?
Well, that means I get to run it forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, Uncle Dave.
Well, had a certain individual.
Well, see, they say free version. I don't see that word in the middle.
Right, free trial version.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, this was on it. Had an individual bring a machine in, and We got the machine. It was loaded with spamware and all that stuff, so we got it back, you know, got it all working and everything else. They get it home, and a day later, all of a sudden, they're calling and saying, well, my Word and Excel is not working right. I was using it. Well, I said, no problem. Bring the machine back in. You know, we'll take a look at it. You know, something could be messed up. And they bring it in, and right on the disk that Microsoft's, you know, they got with the machine, it said Microsoft Office 2003. Trial version.
And if you ask him what the error message said when his Excel doesn't work, it would say, your trial version has expired.
Well,
you're right. That should be a good clue right there.
Well, he's getting the screen. Well, he says, no, the screen's coming up and it wants this number and everything else and wants me to register. I, you know, they gave it to me. I said, no, you can't. It's a trial version. It's expired. Well, can't you reset it? I don't want to pay for it. I says, no. Well, set it back for a couple days. I only need it. You know, I got to get this one paper out. And, you know, you had it for 2 days. And, you know, I wasn't using the machine. I said, well, they still go by the date and time in your machine. And that's how many days you had to try it. If you didn't use it, that's not their fault. It's not every time you click on it that it counts.
It used to be. It used to be 25 launches. Now it's 30 days.
Yeah, and the same with the Norton. They also had a version of trial version of Norton, which is usually 60 to 90 days. Once it's up, folks, you have to pay for the full-blown version. You're seeing it on. We're seeing it a lot on most a lot of the newer machines now that they're throwing it down there, and folks think, oh, they've got a right to use it. Yes, you can, for the 60 days or the 90 days or whatever it is. Once it's done, you have two options. Either you can register it and then have it legally, or uninstall it.
And registering it often means paying Microsoft the $400 that the Office Suite costs.
Exactly.
And on top of that, what don't people understand about the word beta?
Yeah.
Oh, beta? Yeah, that's another
one. I get
that
all the time. I'm having a problem with IE7. This was, of course, before it was released. Yes, you are. Thanks for calling. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. I'm getting it today. Well, I'm having a problem with Vista. Really? There's a shock.
You will be.
I had a couple last week. I think it was the same kid just trying to get his buddy on the phone say, because they were within 5 minutes, you know, 5-10 minutes of each other. And Vista, I just, it's beta. Hello? You erase it? No, I don't want to do that. I'll lose everything. Well, then you should have thought of, you know.
Well, plus there's warnings in the software and on the box. This is beta software. Do not install it on a production machine.
In the lower right corner, it says beta.
But the bottom line for me, though, folks, is when you sit there and see trial version, no, you can't uninstall it, reinstall it, because it remembers it. You're done.
If you erase your computer and reinstall it, then you'll get another 30 days.
Yeah. You got to wipe everything out.
Right. All right. That's it. We're done now. Dave's feeling a lot better. He's vented his spleen. It's all good now. We're going to take a quick break. Thank you for joining us for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. You may now take off your jammies, put on your clothes, and go back to work. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. We got a bunch of people on the phone. We'll be getting to them. Glenn Lamberts is in for the news, the sports, the weather. Back in just a couple of minutes at 59 minutes after the hour, it's Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Thousand-watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Sound Bites. Call the show at 222-1180, *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Sound Bites. Before we get back to the phones, I'd like to talk a little bit about what goes on at our website at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you every week. We do a poll. Last week's poll was about, because it was the week to vote, it was about, do you trust electronic voting machines? 342 of you voted, making it number 93, actually tying with... for 91st place with two others on the all-time hit list. Thank you very much. Obviously, the overwhelming vote, 68% of you said no, 22% of you said yes, and 33 of you said who cares. This week's poll is about holiday game buying. There are three new machines out right now. For the Xbox 360 is coming. The Wii is coming. The PlayStation 3 is coming. That doesn't even talk about the Zune, which is supposed to theoretically be the iPod killer.
Which actually already failed in the market 2 years ago when Toshiba was marketing it.
Yes, exactly. Well, but that wasn't Microsoft marketing it. Nintendo's Wii is coming out. Sony's PlayStation 3. We've already got Microsoft's Xbox 360. So my question is, which will you be buying this year? Xbox 360, the Wii, the PlayStation 3, a chess set, or a baseball? I know that a lot of you are upset that I didn't say other, I didn't say none, but you know what? That wasn't the point of the poll. The point of the poll is, if you had a choice among these, which would you buy? That's the point of the poll. Don't
nice
second
answer.
Guess me. Thank you.
My answer would still be none.
Then,
if you were forced to buy one of those,
right,
which
would you buy?
None.
That's the point of the poll. It's like saying, you didn't have a choice for cheese. Well, you're right. I didn't have a choice for cheese. Get over it.
You still enjoy beating your wife.
When did you stop beating your wife? Yeah, exactly.
When did you stop enjoying it?
So far, 52 of you have voted in the overwhelming choice so far is chess set, I'm delighted to say. When you're done with that, you'll see a little yellow box underneath. If you click on Give Us Your Opinion, it takes you over to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com. And you can then enter an opinion on what's going on there. And then when you're done with that, check out my website. I got a newsletter and I do reviews and I do all kinds of other stuff on there. And then come back to our website and check out some of the coolest people on earth in the forums and all the other good stuff that we do. So that's this week's poll. No, Rob is gone. Rob has left. He's not even around. He just walked out. He's
going to take tower readings. Yeah, push one of those buttons in there, would you?
He's not even there. I would like you push a button. Would you just make something happen? Because
take the whole station down.
See, he usually tells us when he's going to step out of the room.
Yeah, I look up to say our next caller is, and there's no Rob. There's just the photographer guy.
How long have we been doing this together?
Not that long.
How
that
long
you can
have
just,
we been doing this together?
How long have we been doing this together? And you and what'd you do? Take a little leisurely stroll?
No, he takes his tower readings at noon.
Go out and have a cigarette and relax.
I do my job.
What did you do?
You see this window right here? All you got to do is look up.
I looked up. I was about to say, and our next caller is, and there's nobody. And your poor photographer friend is standing there going,
what button do I push? He didn't tell me.
Did you do your normal little website thing?
Yeah, we did everything. I said, asknick.com, and nothing happened. Twice now.
No, you didn't do it right.
That's asknick.com. Much better. Yeah. Now we're talking. All righty there.
Listen, I got to tell you something really quick.
Here we go.
A couple of weeks ago, I made a comment on this here radio station about the fact that the only people that have ever heard me on this station are my friends and my friends' grandparents and parents. Remember I said that?
Yeah.
Bad move on my part. every one of my friends, grandparents, and parents have made a point to call me and said, what do you mean? You calling us old?
Yeah, right.
A buddy of mine, his mom called me out on it the other day and said, I didn't like that.
You call
me
old. Linton.
Yeah. You can send him complaints here.
Yeah, my mom listens to your show all the time.
Yeah, right.
Thanks.
Yeah, there's nothing worse. And I said this myself. There's nothing worse. This gorgeous young girl comes up to you and says, you're that computer guy. Yes. Yes, I am. My grandfather watches. Oh, thanks. Thanks so much. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. Yeah. Honey. Get me a rocker, will you? I'm about to fall over. I'll tell you what, I, for those of you who have been asking me, yes, I am currently, at least for a while, doing the entertainment reports during the Monday through Friday, during the Beth and Chet's three-hour extravaganza here on Wham.
And you're doing a wonderful job,
Thank
too.
You. I'm having fun.
Yeah.
I've always had people who recognize us from sound bites, but we're a fairly specialized audience. It's computer people listen to this show. I didn't quite realize what 50,000 watts of clear channel power meant.
38 states.
38 states
and Canada.
Hear us every morning on that morning show. And I've had people I don't even have an idea where they're from. Wait a minute, you're the guy, you're the entertainment. And then, of course, then when they want to tell me how wrong I was about something, but that's okay. But the point is, it's everybody. This is quite a well-listened-to station, I must say.
How can you be wrong about being when you're a critic?
Well, that was my point. Yeah. I said, this is my opinion. I didn't say, you know, the movie was great or the movie stunk. No. I said, I think the movie's greater.
You're
think
doing a great job. Now, have you gotten in the fights with Chet yet about any of the movies or Star Trek or anything like that?
No, I have so far steered clear of Star Trek, I will. We'll get there.
Bill Klein used to get in. I'm trying to think. They used to have intellectual conversations, maybe you could say, about their differences in entertainment and movies and what Bill thought was good and what Chet thought was good, and it was good stuff. But yeah,
well, there's always been the critic movie and then the public movie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. There's the movies the critics like, and then there's the movies the public likes. So yeah, I'm having fun, and that's all that counts. But I just didn't realize quite
what
50,000 watts meant.
You're a celebrity now.
Yeah, you need to get out more. That's pretty clear. Look, our next caller.
He's a star. He comes out at night.
Our next caller. Do we have time to take a caller? No? Yeah. Yes? No?
Yeah, we're going until 20.
How long have you been doing this job?
Do you want to take a call?
Doing that little Katharine Hepburn thing isn't helping me. I need a nod or a shake.
A bobblehead.
Do you want to take a phone call?
Yes, I'd love to take a phone
call. Okay, well, you're the boss. Go ahead and take a phone call.
Thank you. Our next caller is Joe from Pittsburgh.
No, wait a minute. We're not going to Joe from Pittsburgh. No, we're going to go to... all right, yeah, we'll go ahead. Let's go to Joe from Pittsburgh.
Joe from Pittsburgh, thank you so much. Joe, are you there?
Good. Hey,
I'd like to apologize for every single person who ever has touched a board or a microphone in this radio station. Go ahead. What's your question?
Normally when I click on my Internet Explorer, it takes me to the Internet.
That's the point.
And now it says Microsoft Visual C++ Runtime Library Buffer Overrun Detected. And then it says Program C, Program Files, Internet Explorer /iExplorer. EXE.
What it sounds like is your Internet Explorer program, that's .exe, has become corrupted in some way.
Version are you running?
XP?
No, I mean version of Internet Explorer. Did you upgrade to 7.0?
I don't know, to tell you the truth, because I don't use it much, and my son uses it, and I don't know, all of a sudden it just went kapooey, so...
I'm wondering. You got to ask your son. Did he try upgrading to Internet Explorer 7.0?
Okay.
And maybe if it didn't finish correctly, that could be the cause of it.
Okay.
Yeah. You need to be careful of that. There is an upgrade out now for Internet Explorer 7. So if that hasn't come through for you yet, let it happen. Talk to your son first and see if he blocked it or whatever happened.
Right.
And then from there you'll be able to see whether you need to do a reinstall or just download 7 and that'll replace everything and the problem will go away.
Okay.
Okie doke.
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much.
The real trick is how do you get 6 back?
You don't. Microsoft has stated that. You're done with 6.
I thought there was a way you could uninstall it.
Yeah, a couple of people. Some people have posted that in the forums of ways to get back to IE6.
You can get back to IE6, but from what I understand, 7 will then reinstall itself.
Yeah, because it's an automatic update now.
Exactly.
So you have to
turn off automatic update.
Right. Or have it ask you first and uncheck that one.
Yeah.
Right. But otherwise, it'll just reinstall itself the next time. So it becomes an endless cycle. Our next caller is Herb from Spencerport, New York. Welcome, Herb. What's your question? Herb, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. I have a hardware issue. I have an old laptop with a Pentium 3, and I turned it off one night with the there's a Hibernate button.
Yep.
But if you hold down Control or Shift or something, it's a slightly different version of Hibernate Sleep or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I shut it off with that. And when I went
with Sleep or with Hibernate?
With the Sleep. Holding down Control or Shift and then pushing the when you put the arrow over Hibernate, it changes the name to something else, and I just can't remember the name.
It would be Sleep.
Okay, so I put it to Sleep, and then when I, like a half hour later, I tried to bring it back up. I was moving the computer from one location to another, and it says, hey, I can't find the hard drive. So I went through...
Oh, yeah, that's a very different problem.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. I'd never experienced that with just putting it to Sleep. I've tried... I formatted the hard drive, figuring that would help. That didn't. I swapped hard drives. I went from an 11 gig to a 30 gig hard drive. Formatted that. Tried loading both Windows 98 SE, which was the original operating system, and XP. And in both cases, with the 11 gig hard drive, they both both operating systems get to a certain point where they're trying to deal with the PNP installations, and they give you a blue screen of death. You reboot, and it comes up, and it finishes the installation, but it's a flaky installation. It won't when you try to do things reactive in the hard drives, it crashes.
What it sounds like is happening here, Herb, is you've actually got some sort of mechanical issue, some sort of electronic board is not working correctly. It's not a software issue at all.
Right. Did that original, you said the 11 gig, is that the original hard drive?
Yes.
Did you try reinstalling with the new hard drive?
Yeah, I tried out on the new hard drive, and in that case, 98 will do the exact same thing, load part way or most of the way, and then blue screen. XP won't even finish loading. I guess that same.
You might have an a memory issue, or like Nick was starting to go to, is it's not the the hard drive that could be part of the issue.
The hard drive controller.
The DMA or that on the motherboard.
Right. But my point is, it's likely it has nothing to do with the hard drive or the software.
Well, I realize that. That's why I was swapping it back and forth. My big question, I guess I'm wondering, at this point, is it prudent for me to try to, I was thinking maybe if I flash the BIOS, and I got an image from the manufacturer, but I've resisted flashing it because I don't want to make it into a paperweight if I don't have to.
Well, it can't hurt to do that since you can't use it anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I play Free Cell on it periodically just to see if it's running, and it runs, as long as I'm just running a program, it runs perfectly. It's only when I try to do things where I'm accessing stuff where eventually it will...
Yeah, it's going to be either flashing the BIOS won't help this.
No.
It's either the hard drive controller, the RAM, some problem with the motherboard itself.
Needs to have diagnostics.
None of those other things you can do are going to help.
Okay, is there some software I can try?
No.
I've used MemTest and all those other
things. It's not a software issue.
MemTest will tell you if it's bad memory.
What I'm trying to do is diagnose it.
Yeah.
Is this something, I'm trying to find out, is this something that I can fix, or
The usual diagnosis is to replace one of the components and see if that fixes it.
Right, yeah.
But on a laptop.
Unfortunately, with a laptop in particular, unless you have the specific diagnostics from that manufacturer, the only thing you can diagnose is the RAM. And if you don't have a problem with the RAM, then it's something on the motherboard, and without their specific diagnostic tools, nobody puts out a generic one.
Right. Is this something I could bring into a shop and they could diagnose likely, or?
Yes.
Okay.
We do it all the time.
By replacing components and see which one fixes it.
No.
I've
got some diagnostic software that I can literally put it.
Right. And that's stuff that you know, he pays a lot of money for as a repair, a legitimate repair place. So you can bring this to Dave, and at least he can tell you whether or not it's fixable.
Okay. Diagnostic is only $30.
Okay, can I get your, put me on hold or whatever, get me your phone number?
All you got to do is, we're Enright PC.
Right.
The number is 442-4843. We're right up past Dan's Craft, 70 Empire Boulevard, right off of 590.
Right near Culver.
Can I ask a quick Firefox Thunderbird question?
Quickly.
I've loaded Thunderbird, and I've got two email accounts, one at work and one at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I configured it to try to run both of them, and each of my emails have different passwords, and it'll works fine with the first one I loaded or installed, and then with the second email it tries to use the other password. Did I screw something up in the installation?
You did, because I have about six different accounts under Thunderbird, all with different passwords, all on different servers. Every one of them works fine, so you definitely screwed something up.
Sometimes it's easier to delete those accounts and retype everything again.
Delete the one that's not working and try reinstalling.
All right, we have to take a break.
Set it up.
Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. 20 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
America's only call-in show devoted exclusively to mutual fund investing.
Sounding even better in HD. High Definition Radio is on News Radio 1180, WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 24 minutes after the hour in High Definition Radio, it's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
You sound so much better in HD.
Don't I, though? I sound better no matter how highly defined you are. That's me. In fact, the more highly defined you are, the better I sound.
No, you know, I've come up with an idea.
Uh-oh.
And hang on.
Did it hurt?
Oh, now it's
yeah,
real.
I did.
What are you
sorry
tying your
that.
Shoes?
I couldn't hear you. Okay, listen.
Yeah, all right.
You know how Oprah does after the show? You
sure.
know what I mean? I think we should do sound bites between the show. You know what I'm saying? With all the stuff that happens on the air between the show.
You could only put that on the internet. You
oh,
could
absolutely.
Never put it over the air.
Well, between
not
the
ever.
With age disclaimers.
Right. Between, right. between the pictures and the content, we can get in trouble if that went on the radio. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right, right.
Yeah.
You'd be minimum NC-17 or something, whatever that is.
We'll look into that. You should look into that.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, we should look into that. Thanks. Yeah. You're the producer. You look yeah. into that. It's your freaking job.
Okay.
Hey, you
all
look
right.
into that. Fine. Thanks.
That's what, right. that's what we have people for.
Yeah.
Rob is our people.
Have your people call my people. They can have lunch.
I'm your people?
Yeah. Yeah, call our people. They'll take care of
as
that.
As opposed uh-huh. to our peeps.
You seem to forget the fact that I've got the buttons.
Yeah,
got the
okay.
button.
But we'll call your mom.
I've
got your mom's number.
I will put on reruns of Rush Limbaugh in place of this program. You know what I'm saying?
That's and then you have to answer to the 50,000 watts full of people who are going to come looking for you. Yeah, he's speechless.
Yeah.
All right, listen, researchers have discovered something inside Apple computers. It's very interesting.
The computer?
The trusted computing chip, as they call it. This is, of course, actually for DRM or digital restriction management. Recently, manufactured Intel-based Apple computers contain a chip on their motherboards that would allow users to take advantage of trusted computing capabilities. A member of Google's technical staff in Mountain View, California, named Amit Singh, is the researcher who recently disclosed that there are encrypted binaries in Apple's Mac OS X operating system that are designed to protect the operating system from being pirated. And this trusted computing thing is the same thing that's in a lot of Windows machines, and particularly in a lot of Windows-based media players, so that you yep. cannot play music that you do not have a right to. And that chip is also inside recently manufactured Apples. Now, there are a couple of things about this. Apple does not include anything in OS X that lets you use that trusted computing chip directly, which says that at this point, at least, there's no digital restriction management tied to that chip. Apple simply doesn't use it. Other researchers agree that the chip isn't in use now, but wonder about the future. The question, of course, is why is Apple putting the chip into its products if there's no plan to use it? Now, some people say it may just be that it's on the motherboards that Apple is buying from Intel, they're just putting there, but we don't know.
Yeah,
and
this came out 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, when the first Intel Macs were ceded to developers.
Right.
Well, what's this chip for? Well, that's the TPM, which is part of the Intel specification.
Right.
And the assumption is that new PC motherboards have the same thing on it.
Yes. Yes. Well, but the Apple people are the only ones who really don't want digital restriction
right.
management.
And so. Apple has traditionally never done that on right. their operating system
well,
or their computers.
There's two things. One, they certainly could in the future. It just requires a driver.
Yep.
But secondly, it may well be, and I haven't seen this listed anywhere, Vista is supposed to require it. So if you're going to do either boot camp or Parallels with Vista as the other chip, there has to be a TPM on the motherboard in order yep. for Vista to run. Yep. So it may be absolutely nothing. Or it could be yet another application or another way of knowing that Steve Wright is in fact the devil. I don't know which that is. Steve, what did I
Jobs.
Say? Steve, what did I say?
Steven Wright
may be the devil. We don't know that, but this could be Steve Jobs. I was reading the word rights, digital rights management. But that's just in there, and I wouldn't get all excited about it just yet, at least.
One of the other questions that has come up sort of similar to that is if you're running Boot Camp and Parallels, do you have to buy two copies of Windows? Because it's the same computer. But Windows won't activate on the second copy because it says it's already activated.
Why would you run both Boot Camp and Parallels?
Because you're a real deep geek.
That's belt suspenders
well,
and stapling the pants to your waist.
Boot camp is faster, and it has access to the entire hardware because it turns your computer or your Mac into a real full PC, and it doesn't know any better about the Mac.
Right.
Parallels is more convenient because it runs inside the Mac, but it costs more than Boot Camp does. So the choice is, do you want faster? Do you want convenience? That's always been the choice.
Right.
So there are some people, if we just had a meeting at Cider last week showing off all the different Windows on your Mac solutions. And that has been a question. If I want to run Boot Camp and Parallels, can I install Windows twice? Because it's the same computer. And the usual, you know, the answer has been, well, call Microsoft and tell them this, because you are running it on the same computer. It should allow you to run two copies on the same computer.
It should. Sure.
But you have to convince Microsoft that you're not stealing it.
And there's the
rub.
Yep.
All right. Our next caller is Al from East Rochester, New York. Welcome, Al. What's your question?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
Excellent.
I got an oddball one. I've never heard you guys address it on the air.
Ah.
And everybody else that I've looked at, they get a glazed look. You know,
we can do the glazed look. We get that look whenever we talk to Rob.
People come from the back with the duct tape, the whole nine yards. Anyhow, if I am near my PC when I'm on the phone,
mm-hmm.
we got two a dual set of portable phones, and I hang the phone up, it'll literally stop any transmission online. I got DSL with filters, you know, the whole nine yards.
You have all the filters on all of your landlines.
Yeah. There's only the one. There's only one line upstairs, and we actually have it upstairs.
Well, right on each extension of your lines, including any fax machine you might have.
Yeah, no, everything is. There's only one set of phones, and it's protected by the filter. And then the DSL mm-hmm. modem is down here next to the computer. And if you hang up the phone, you're done. You can sit there for 2 minutes.
Now, this is a cordless phone.
Yeah.
Have you tried changing the channel of the phone?
They don't give you an option. It's like a 2.4 gigahertz.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that was going to be my question. Is your computer wired to the DSL router or wireless?
No, it's wired.
Okay. Because the wireless internet networking systems use the same 2.4 gigahertz, and cordless phones will interrupt wireless networking.
Yeah, even, no, it's wired.
So, what often happens is 2.4 gigahertz is free channel. Everybody uses it. In addition, a lot of telephones have a really powerful transmitter in them so that you can go downstairs and out in the backyard and wherever you're going.
Down the block.
Whatever that is.
I can do that.
Yeah, exactly. And what happens is if you're a fan of Mythbusters, you saw a couple episodes where they did some research on cell phones. When you're using a cell phone, or in this case, so just a wireless phone, it doesn't put out a lot of power. But when you hang it up, or when you pick it up, there's a spike.
Okay.
And what's likely happening is that spike is interfering with something in the system, whether it's the actual DSL modem or it's the computer itself. Don't forget, any wires you have connecting that DSL, the cable you have connecting that DSL to the computer itself,
right?
That's just a long piece of wire, which is the classic definition of an antenna.
Right.
So it's clearly picking up the interference and getting blocked, and it takes a couple of minutes for the machine and the DSL modem to say, all right, we've had some interference, the interference is gone, we can talk to each other
again.
Are you
using the telephone cable that came with the DSL router that has the ferrite core on it, the big lumps at each end?
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, it's through an Ethernet on the
right, but remote. From the telephone system into the DSL router
is
a phone line, and the ones that come with the DSL router have a big lump in the middle of them.
Oh no, it's got tape on it. It's got twisted wires together.
Yeah, I would suggest that's not the one you originally got with the DSL modem. So you would be best if you can find that one if it's long enough, or talk to the folks at Frontier and get another one.
Oh, no kidding. The input line from the phone from the wall to the modem.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's a pink one or yellow.
Right, and it's got this big ferrite core lump in the middle of it, and that shields the system from external electromagnetic interference.
Right, and if you're not using that one, there's your problem.
And you can sometimes use really cheap Ethernet cable that doesn't have enough shielding around it as well.
Or you might want to look into, if this is if that doesn't work, look into getting a better phone. Wireless phone, though. I mean, a lot of them now you can sit there, they're relatively inexpensive, cordless. And
well,
you can program them to the different channels.
The cheaper ones are too inexpensive and put out too much interference.
Right, right, right. All right, our next caller is Joel from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Joel. What's your question?
Yes, before I ask my question, you were talking about, the 50,000 watts, how amazing that is. So I think, streaming audio, and video, it's kind of like makes the whole aspect of that moot, and it's kind of like you can have listeners around the world, and it seems like all of our communication is like the TV and radio is going over wire. and now our voice, you know, telephone's going over the air.
Right,
know?
Right.
Anyway.
No, I agree. Joel, and in terms of sound bites, we do get all over the world. We're big in the Netherlands, as a matter of fact, as near as I can tell from who downloads the podcast. But what I'm talking about is I'm doing this thing in the morning on Wham, and I just am astounded at the number of people who physically in Rochester stop me and talk to me.
Okay.
It's astonishing.
Okay. My question is, I do a lot of work with foreign languages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I had a conference with a professor from, let's say, Harvard. And,
sure.
You know, he gave me a web page, and on my high-speed internet provider, I won't mention the name, you know, I get the screen, you know, where it can't resolve the IP or web page. So I go to my library, there it is, you know, and I call up my provider, and you know, I said, well, you know, at the library, I can, you know, when I bought the service, you know, it was my impression that, you know, internet is internet, so that, it's not an inappropriate site or anything, but even
right.
if it was, it would seem to me that, you
it's
know,
your right.
Have you ever heard of anything where your provider cannot get you to your web page that is a valid one?
I have seen that happen temporarily every provider.
This is a long-term dealio. And what happened was they said they skirted the issue. I went, you know, and I said, you know, like, is there like a domain, or is there certain ways that I can figure out which web pages you guys don't access? Because, you know, that's a very serious issue, is that, you know, it was my impression that, you know, if you get an internet service, you know.
Yes, I understand your impression, and I agree with you. And I don't know why that would be if you.
I've seen occasions where there's DNS errors, it times out getting to the other end, and if you wait 5 seconds and click reload, the page will come up.
Right. It may well be that you're not having a problem.
They couldn't even resolve it themselves. The way they resolved it was they had me go through a proxy server. Now, you know, it's, even though it worked, it's, you know, going through a proxy server, which I guess hides your,
proxy servers do 100 different things, but they can be used for a lot of things.
Generally, it means someone else already downloaded that page from the internet, so you don't have to.
Right.
That's a
caching proxy server. But using a proxy server is actually a fairly legitimate thing lots of places do.
Well, I know it's legitimate, but it's not, you know, you don't get the response from a proxy server that you do if you actually accessed it,
There's a couple of problems here, Joel. One is that certainly your internet service provider could be blocking certain sites. They would probably tell you that because that's, you know, they have to tell you those things. That's part of their contract. It could also be that for some reason the other side is blocking them.
Have you heard of this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Quite
China
often.
Blocks an amazing number of places.
Yeah. Okay, but if that's the case, why would my going to the library,
you're on a different
provider.
You're on a different provider there. Quite frequently,
or they may be on a proxy right. server of their own somewhere.
We've seen issues with both.
You can tell if it's going through a proxy server.
Not always.
Not always.
No, but, Joel, I run a proxy server, and 90% of my people have no idea they're on one.
And
you don't necessarily know.
Quite often, we have seen problems. It's locally with Frontier and Roadrunner because they're the two biggest companies. Someone on one of those services will get hit by a virus or a spammer. And the black hole list companies on the internet will block all traffic from Frontier because someone on Frontier sent out spam.
Right.
And then Frontier has to tell them, no, we're not.
And it can take a month and a half to get off of those things. So the problem may not be with your internet service provider. It may be the other end blocking them.
And there's nothing
you can do to stop that. It has to be resolved by the two major parties. We have to take another break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, at 39 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, You're listening to Soundbites. Mozilla has patched some critical bugs in Firefox and Thunderbird. It's a patch of highly critical updates for Firefox, Thunderbird, and Sea Monkey. You didn't even know there was a Sea Monkey. There's a Sea Monkey. It's the old Mozilla suite is now called Sea Monkey. And warned that unpatched users face the risk of PC takeover attacks. The Firefox update applies to Firefox 1.5X. Does not affect the newer Firefox 2 version. Firefox 1.5.0.x will be maintained with security and stability updates until April 24th, 2007. I don't know what that is, but Firefox 2 will continue after that. The patch covers a trio of highly critical bugs that could cause security bypass, cross-site scripting, system access, denial of service. So update your Firefox, update your Thunderbird. It also corrects an RSA signature forgery bug that was not completely fixed in an earlier patch. Because Thunderbird, even if you only use Thunderbird, Thunderbird shares the browser engine with Firefox. So make sure that that you update. Also, your best bet in general is disable JavaScript. So the JavaScript is no longer running in your mail system. You don't need JavaScript in your mail. Turn it off. The Firefox update also updates. The update also addresses an error in the handling of scripts. Look at that. So, turn off the JavaScript in your email. That's the silliest thing I ever heard of. All right, our next caller is George from Fairport, New York. Welcome, George. What's your question?
Hi, guys. You're having too much fun there.
Yes, we are.
You're paying Rob for that gig.
That's it. They are not paying Rob for this gig. Believe me. Ask him. He'll tell you over and over and over again they're not paying him for this gig. Oh, pay him enough. I'm sorry. I missed that word the first.
No, you guys got to pay Rob.
We have to pay Rob?
Yeah, you're having too
okay,
much
next
fun
caller. Next
I
caller.
Like this guy.
Okay, my question is, I got an old PC.
You can talk all day now, by the way. He's not gonna knock you out for anything. Go ahead.
That's right. We set this one up. Hey, I've got an old PC that I'm going to give to a local shop to recycle.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I wipe the hard drive to ensure that all data and files are not recoverable by anyone with ulterior motives?
The best thing is
100-ton press.
Yeah.
Or
well, then it couldn't be recycled, right?
Yeah.
What operating system's on it?
It's Windows.
98?
XP.
XP?
Yeah.
You can start by just going in and deleting all the documents and everything else and slowly remove the directories. But the best thing to do
I think is to get a copy of Kill Disk, right?
Yeah, and
there's a secure erase. I think Norton Utilities has one.
Or you could,
if you just use the erase command, someone could come through and unerase. So you want to do an overwrite erase that actually overwrites the data.
Or what you could, you have an old Windows 98 boot disk, put that in, boot it from there, and format it with that.
There is a free.
How do I get a copy of Killdisk?
Killdisk.com. There's a free version that will overwrite and destroy all data on the physical drive. It'll erase any partitions, logical drives, unused disk space gets erased. A report is created, and you can save that report. If you get the professional version, it's defense. U.S. Department of Defense 5220.22M compliant, which means that it's military ready.
Yep.
But the free version will do everything short of that. It does IDE, SATA drives, ATA drives, SCSI drives, floppies, zip drives, JAS drives, hard disks, large drives bigger than 128 gig, any operating system, any file system. You can put it on a bootable floppy, and it's free at killdisk.com.
Great. Thanks, guys.
That's your product. There you go.
All right. Appreciate it. Great show.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Our next caller is Eric from Williamson, New York. Welcome, Eric. What's your question?
Hi. I love your show.
Thank you.
I have a problem, and I don't know if it's related. I just installed Windows Media Player 11 and did Windows Update, and I don't usually do driver updates. I think I did pick a couple. But now when I open up Windows Explorer, I can have an audio or a data disk in the drive, and Windows Explorer shows it as empty. And occasionally I'll get this error that says that the Windows can't read the disk, it's corrupt or something. But if I open up Windows Media Player 11, it sees all the audio files on the disk just fine and plays them. And actually, if I use the Nero Drive Info software, it shows that there's disks in there and, you know, what they are.
Right.
But
what it sounds like is you're having a conflict between the drivers in Windows Explorer and the drivers in Nero.
And this is IE7?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Internet Explorer 7 has clearly added something to your system, and it's so new, we don't have a lot of information in this yet. It's clearly added something to your system that is interfering with Windows Explorer, but it's a file that neither Media Player nor Nero uses. And at the moment, I can't tell you what to do about that.
Other than going back to IE6.
Well, right, but I suspect it'll be fixed in another update soon. So just you need to just be a little patient.
Wait a minute. Stop. Use that
I'm
word.
Just being
you're just trying to
Mary
be nuts.
Sunshine. I'm,
but I mean, hello, well, saying well, anything's going to come soon from Microsoft.
Notice how vague he was.
We're going to take a quick break.
Music equals break.
I just took the break. All right, you're listening.
The economy is on the upswing. Despite a record-setting deficit and fuel prices well over $2 a gallon, Wall Street is sitting at its highest level since before the 9/11 tragedy.
Free up additional capital that fuels the economic growth that we've experienced.
And with an early Thanksgiving yielding to a longer holiday shopping season, the giving season may offer retailers another reason to...
Hello!
Hello! Hello! Welcome back. You're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
It's 54 minutes after the hour, and our next caller is Barbara from Albion, New York. Welcome, Barbara. What's your question?
When I turned my computer on this morning, I got a notice from AVG that 7.1 is going to be discontinued on 115.07 and replaced by 7.5. My question is, will the ordinary update take care of this, or do I have to download the 7.5?
You have to download the 7.5.
Right. Part of the deal with the free version is you do a lot of things by hand that normally with the pay version happens automatically.
Okay.
Like one of the things that you're paying for is the automation.
What happens to the 7.1? Will that be overridden?
Yes.
Or will it be?
Yeah, it'll overwrite it in that directory.
Well, can that be done at this time, or does it have to be done?
No, anytime you want.
Yeah.
Anytime. Well, I thank you very much, fellas. You have a good show there.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. There you go.
Just,
we're all good.
I've had a couple folks asking about that, and it still is, you know, like you say, free. You know, it's a great product. That's why we recommend it week after week.
But it is free.
It is free, and it will. The one thing it will do because of free version is get the virus definitions for you free,
right, automatically.
But when it comes to updates, like going from the 7.1 to the 7.5, no, that you've got to do manually. Like you said, if you were paying for it, you would get that feature. You'd get spam control. You'd get a firewall and antivirus software and that type of stuff. But, you know, it's still a great product for getting... viruses,
exactly.
Stick with this, the 7.5, but you're going to have to download it.
Right.
Just like
our
you did originally.
Exactly. Our next caller is Frank from Greece, New York. Welcome, Frank. What's your question?
No, gentlemen. I'm calling about Internet Explorer 7.0.
Yes.
From what my wife is telling me, she just updated to it, and she didn't like really have a choice because it was like an automatic update.
You don't get a choice.
Yes, okay. Yes, you can.
Well, yeah, if you turn automatic off, you can pick which update you get.
Yeah, right. But yet, then every update must come through by hand, yes.
Okay. Which is not maybe a bad thing all the time. But go ahead.
My question is it scrolls like whether you want it to scroll or not up and down, and is there a way of turning that off or stopping it? The page just scrolls. Like if you have a mouse with a thumb with a wheel on it, you give it one click on the wheel, and it just keeps on going for like two or three more.
That's a setting in your mouse preferences on how sensitive you want the scroll wheel to be.
It's a setting for the mouse, huh?
Yeah, in the control panel under...
Because we didn't notice this problem with the old Internet Explorer.
Right, because it's a new version.
They put features in it.
New version, new problems.
Okay.
So it's apparently reading your mouse more sensitively than the old Internet Explorer did.
Okay. All right.
So try playing around with some of the settings in the mouse as far as how it responds, you know, to your clicks and wheel scrolling.
Okay. And while I was waiting for my answer to be for my turn, I had mentioned one of you gentlemen saying turn off the JavaScript for email.
Yes.
What exactly is JavaScript?
JavaScript is a programming language that's used on the web to do certain things that normal web pages don't do. The problem
like
is that
animation
means,
or games or right, fun, and the, fun effects.
Right, and the problem is that can often be used for downloading viruses because it's a language. It's a programming language. On the web, you get to decide whether or not you want to turn that off. I don't have a pro or con about that. But an email, you don't need it in email. And that just turning it off is one extra way to prevent getting viruses through your email.
And how do I shut it off for in the email?
If you have Thunderbird, it's a setting in Thunderbird itself. If you have Internet Explorer...
We have Incredimail.
Outlook Express.
You have IntelliMail?
Incredimail.
Oh, I don't think you can in Incredimail. It's 90% of the cool stuff it does is in the JavaScript.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're kind of stuck there.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's not just a super cool.
The other thing about your other problem, are you using a Logitech mouse or?
Yes.
You might want to uninstall the Logitech driver and just use the regular Windows driver.
Yeah, most of the Google hits I'm getting for IE7 says it scrolls too slow, and how do I speed it up?
Right.
I install the Logitech driver.
Right. We have to go, I'm afraid. It's time is up. We're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. You'll have to call earlier next week. Although we were pretty chock-a-block through the whole thing. We're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, the great and powerful Rob Linton.
Mr. Rob Linton.
Mr. Rob Linton, he's in a tie today. He's got a white shirt on. It's a frightening thing to see.
He looks so grown up, doesn't he?
He does. He's in long pants. I'm just very impressed. He looks so cute.
His mother dressed him.
It's 59 minutes after the hour. I'm Nick Francesco. You've been listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe. See you next week at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.